you with Truth News Radio on the 20th of February 2016. Welcome to the show. My name's Hereward Fenton, and I've been doing this show for quite some years now, and every week is a new adventure, and I set myself a task of exploring some new pieces of information, shedding light on subjects that that I am more or less ignorant about. I actually find it's very helpful for me to learn more by doing this show. Now, one of my kind of main interests, ever since I became an alternative researcher, conspiracy theorist, you may call it, one of my main interests has been the way in which information and misinformation and disinformation are interconnected. And I often talk about this on the show because navigating through the maze of potentially doubtful facts that we are confronted with on a daily basis is made doubly difficult by the fact that there are actually deliberate seedings of wrong facts. And often this comes as a result of purely egotistical motives on the part of people who simply want to make a big name for themselves and say things that are controversial to get attention. And that is a fairly straightforward explanation. And that's sort of tied with kind of personality issues, which would actually be the way in which many so-called conspiracy theories are viewed by journalists in the mainstream. They would say, well, a lot of these people who are touting conspiracy theories are just people with a big ego or people with some sort of personality dysfunction, which makes them feel that they are privy to a higher source of knowledge than the ordinary world, which gives them an elevated sense of importance and gives their followers and believers an elevated sense of importance. And this is the sort of viewpoint that there's always been expressed about people who have controversial views about even things like climate change, the 9/11 terrorist attacks, vaccines, even genetically modified foods. There are quite a few different themes which are indicative of viewpoints that the mainstream simply views as people touting misinformation. But then there are views that are far more extreme and which most of us, including those of us who are climate change skeptics and 9/11 truthers and are concerned about vaccines, would regard as rubbish. But what actually happens in the mainstream is that the more extreme views and ones that are completely lacking in solid evidence or weak in theory are conflated with the controversial views which a sizable proportion of people do hold, which are often in relation to criminal matters, for example, the assassination of Kennedy, what made the towers come down on September 11, 2001. Very important criminal matters which many of us believe have not had a proper investigation and that the perpetrators have actually been able to get away with. But this is conflated with people who make claims such as the earth is flat. And this is actually something I want to talk about today, because in the last month or so, my Facebook feed has been getting these posts, and I've seen discussion here and there. I've followed a few links and even random individuals that I've spoken to seem to be getting up on this bandwagon about not believing the earth is round. And I think it's very important to address it rather than simply say, oh, look, it's not important, these people are just nuts. Because by doing that, we do the same thing that so-called gatekeepers do when we want to present some information to them about climate change or about the collapse of the World Trade Center. If we brush it away with a wave of the hand and say, oh, this is rubbish, it's not worth talking about, don't even talk to me about it, what we're doing is we're undermining our own our own quest and our own goal of being better and more informed and adhering more correctly to science and empirical knowledge. Another example, of course, could be alien theories, and I could go into that, but I'm not going to talk about that too much today. But there is obviously the internet is awash with websites and YouTube videos talking about aliens, and I've probed into a lot of that as well, and I found it to be equally lacking in substance. And it's not that I'm not interested; it's a fascinating topic, and you know, I'd love to actually discover some really good info about it, but there isn't good info. There's just rubbish info, but which people follow. And the fact that people follow it, again, demonstrates that there is a psychological factor here, that there is a conspiracy mindset that a lot of people follow, and that this is real. You know, when we see that that is criticized in scientific journals and individuals who adopt a strict, you know, establishment science position, the fact is many people are in this conspiracy mindset and do just uncritically swallow information that's not real information because it somehow makes them feel good. So I want to talk a little today about the flat earth because it's actually an interesting topic. And it is fascinating because from an empirical point of view, the earth is flat. Certainly looks flat to the eye, and it is a reasonable position to take in the absence of any other data that the Earth is flat. And this was the view that's expressed in ancient Mesopotamian texts and images, which we have. And, of course, it wasn't deeply researched or studied until the ancient Greeks came along. And a number of Greek philosophers came up with the idea that the Earth is round. And the proposition of the Earth being round explains a lot of issues, explains a lot of problems. It is an elegant theory. And of course, you know, in the days before there were satellites, in the days before we had images from space, really, it was just a theory. It was hard to prove. But things like the circumnavigation of the Earth, which took place in the 16th century, were pretty conclusive. I mean, if you were able to sail right around the Earth, if you were able to keep sailing in one direction and end up where you started from, you know, that's a pretty good indication that you're on a round ball. Because how would you get back to where you started from unless you were on a round ball? And I present these points to you because it's very important to get back to common sense, our perceptions, what we know, what we can test, what we can see. Now, there are people on the internet, there are people posting stuff on Facebook who are claiming that there is some kind of secret knowledge that's been hidden from us about the Earth being actually flat. And they refer to certain experiments which have been performed, some going back to the 19th century. And a lot of this is true. There have been people who claimed the Earth was flat going back to the 19th century. But let's try and understand more about that, because see, the spherical Earth theory is something that developed over a very long period of time, and was a development and a refinement of human knowledge, which is extremely powerful. It aids things like navigation. It explains phenomena, and it's important because it evolved out of people's experiments, and not because it was kind of laid down and we were just simply told that the Earth was spherical. It's a practical viewpoint, a model, which allows you to do things. Whereas the flat Earth view is actually based on a kind of a handed down, no questions asked sort of archetypal model of the Earth. And the people in the 19th century who were promoting it were actually biblical literalists. And for them, it was very important to adhere to what the Bible said. Now, even though the Bible doesn't sort of have a chapter on the Earth being flat, just as with other Mesopotamian texts from that time, it there are implications in it that the Earth is a flat disk. Now let's turn back to the people who are on Facebook and people who have these websites who are saying that you know, you've been told the Earth is round, and you know, here's the truth. We're going to bring you the Earth is flat. Well, actually, you know what they're doing there is they're actually just reasserting a dogmatic, unproven viewpoint, which was disrupted, which was disproven by the thousands of years of human activity and individuals taking steps like sailing around the world, and even small experiments which have been done recently where cameras have been sent up aloft on a balloon, and this has been done, I'll put them on the website, there's quite a few one-off experiments that have just been done by teenagers, and you can send a camera right up into the stratosphere. It's quite easy and cheap to do, and you can see the curvature of the Earth. So what are these people who are saying the Earth is flat on about? Well, they actually do refer to an experiment, which I'll get into. We're just getting to break now, but there was an experiment which was done by one of these Bible literalists back in the 19th century called the Bedford Level Experiment. And it was an experiment done along a length of the Old Bedford River in Norfolk, England. It's very interesting. There's a lot of interesting anecdotes to flow from that. We're going to break you with Truth News Radio Australia. Today I'm exploring some rather bizarre views, and let me make it clear, I'm doing this for the edification of all. I'm doing it for my own edification, and I'm doing it because I think approaching this seriously and with a bit of effort has far more value in it than just making sweeping statements like, oh, you know, flat earth believers are stupid. Because, see, that type of attitude is what got us into the mess we're in now. But I also do want to look into the peculiarity of the people who are making these statements. And I, you know, there are a number of them who are on my Facebook feed, and I reposted one of their posts and ended up getting into a debate with someone who's been a friend of mine on Facebook for quite a few years. And I was quite amazed that here I had a live one. You know, here I had someone who was completely hooked into this and was giving me links to look at and proofs and all this kind of stuff. And from research, what I found is that a lot of these people who are doing this are referring back to this so-called experiment, which was performed in the 19th century on the Old Bedford River in Norfolk, England. It was an attempt to determine the shape of the Earth. Early results seemed to prove the Earth was flat, but most later attempts to reproduce the observations firmly support that the Earth is a sphere. And I'm reading from Wikipedia here. I know a lot of people doubt Wikipedia, and believe me, I don't rely on Wikipedia with my eyes shut. I always cross-reference Wikipedia with other information, but this is factual information in relation to some experiments that were done. Now, the point chosen for the experiments of this flat Earth theory was where the river is a slow-flowing drainage canal running in an uninterrupted straight line for a six-mile stretch to the northeast of the village of Welney. The most famous of the observations, and the one that was taught in schools until photographs of the Earth from space became available, involved a set of three poles fixed at equal height above the water along this length. As the surface of the water was assumed to be level, the discovery that the middle pole, when viewed carefully through a theodolite, was almost 3 feet higher than the poles at each end, was finally accepted as a new proof that the surface of the Earth was indeed curved. Now, that is actually somewhat confusing, because that is actually a later experiment. I would have preferred to begin by just describing the first experiment, which is the one done by the flat Earth believer. But I was reading from Wikipedia, so there you go. The original experiment was conducted by Samuel Burley Rowbotham. And here is a statement that he made. If the Earth is a globe and is 25,000 English statute miles in circumference, the surface of all standing water must have a certain degree of convexity. Every part of it must be an arc of a circle. From the summit of any such arc, there will exist a curvature declination of 8 inches in the first statute mile. In the second mile, the fall will be 32 inches. In the third mile, 72 inches, or 6 feet. Now, there's a diagram here and a chart that shows what the declination should be. Now, when he did his experiment, he reported he waded into the river and used a telescope held 8 inches above the water to watch a boat with a 5-foot mast row slowly away from him. He reported that the vessel remained constantly in his view for the full 6 miles to Welney Bridge, whereas, had the water surface been curved with the accepted circumference of a spherical Earth, the top of the mast should have been some 11 feet below his line of sight. He published this discovery under the title Zetetic Astronomy, using the pseudonym Parallax in 1849. Now, what's interesting is that these experiments were actually repeated a number of times, but the famous naturalist and the co-author of the original paper on evolution, Alfred Russel Wallace, took a wager that he could disprove the claims of Rowbotham. And there is a big, long story about that. It's quite a saga that caused a lot of anguish for Alfred Russel Wallace. And I've got an article here, actually, from the Scientific American. And I'll just actually switch to that now, and I'll start reading to you from this article. Wallace's woeful wager how a founder of modern biology got suckered by flat earthers. In January of 1870, Alfred Russel Wallace found himself on a collision course with a group of creationists who fervently believed the earth is flat. Why was such a venerable 19th century man of science accepting wagers from flat earthers regarding the shape of our planet? Now, I just point out that the tone of this article is typical of the rude and actually I call it ignorant attitude towards science. Well, I've seen a lot of really bad stuff in the Scientific American. It's this kind of a superior, supercilious attitude, which again is why I was saying we need to get rid of that. And they're kind of taking the line here that Wallace should never have done this. He should have just dismissed it with a wave of the hand, you know. No, he should never not actually have engaged it and been a proper scientist. He should have just said, no, go away, you're a bunch of idiots. Because that's the attitude that Scientific American has to anything that doesn't rigidly fall within their purview of what is acceptable. And it goes right down to things like the efficacy of a vaccine. You know, if you question that, well, you're the same as a flat earther. So bear in mind that part of what's being done here with this disinformation is to manipulate your view in a very subtle background way. I'll just continue reading here from the article, but I'll probably cut to the chase because it's a little bit long-winded. 19th century Britain was one of the epicentres of the scientific revolution, but with progress comes pushback. Alarmed believers strove to shore up the Bible's authority, some going much further than others. Not many of them went to greater extremes than Samuel Burley Rowbotham. Known as Parallax, he was a biblical literalist, a young earth creationist, and a quack who believed in a flat, disc-shaped earth. The North Pole stood at its centre, and that was it. In his cosmology, there was no such beast as a South Pole. He backed his contentions with bad math, bogus experiments, and Bible verses. He revived the ancient flat earth idea and gave it a modern patina of science, then used the result to stir up controversy for cash. One of his many popular lectures on the subject converted William Carpenter, who loved the idea more for its poke in the eye it gave to the scientific establishment than for reasons of biblical fealty. Determined to rid the world of round earth ideas, he wrote a scathing book called Theoretical Astronomy Examined and Exposed. This book soon came to the attention of the man who was to vex Alfred Wallace so sorely. John Hampton, a Protestant rector's son and all-round arch-conservative, had plenty of leisure time for engaging in argument. And I'm just skipping through some of the irrelevant stuff here. So John Hampton, after dropping out of Oxford, occupied himself by publishing various tracts demanding that the Church of England be reformed on strict Protestant lines, and he was a biblical literalist bent on defending Genesis to the hilt. Upon reading Theoretical Astronomy, he became convinced that the earth was flat, and he had the Bible verses to prove it. And we are just going to break here with Truth News Radio Australia, and we're talking about the flat earth. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And today I'm exploring a bizarre little theory going around the internet that the Earth is flat, and digging into some history, things that I did not know about. And interesting to discover that the modern flat Earth views derive from biblical fanatics, biblical literalist extremists. And just looking here at this article here from the Scientific American, which documents a little saga that occurred when the naturalist Alfred Russel Wallace put up a wager that he could disprove the Bedford level experiment. Now, there's another individual here who wrote pamphlets, and his name is John Hampden, and he became convinced that the Earth was flat, and he found Bible verses to prove it was so, and he produced pamphlets such as The Popularity of Error and the Unpopularity of Truth, showing the world to be a stationary plane and not a revolving globe, purporting to prove the pancake-osity of the planet. This was the era of steam-powered printing presses and vastly expanding public interest in science, fed by vigorous journalism, a veritable information age rather like our own. Like our modern creationists, John Hampden looked on in horror as the masses slurped up all the science they could hold, including round-earth heresy. He made it his mission to eradicate such ideas from the public consciousness, even when his bombastic techniques horrified his flat-earth grandfather, Parallax. Sounding like the Borg of Hampden, he declared that a spherical Earth had to go. All further resistance is useless. And he was willing to wager his money on it. On January 12, 1870, Hampden threw down his gauntlet in the weekly journal Scientific Opinion. What is to be said of the pretended philosophy of the 19th century when not one educated man in 10,000 knows the shape of the earth on which he dwells? Why, it must be a huge sham. The undersigned is willing to deposit from 50 to 500 on reciprocal terms and defies all the philosophers, divines, and scientific professors in the United Kingdom to prove the rotundity and revolution of the world from scripture, from reason, or from fact. He will acknowledge that he has forfeited his deposit if his opponent can exhibit, to the satisfaction of any intelligent referee, a convex railway, river, canal, or lake. John Hampden. Alfred Russel Wallace saw the ad. Though it must have seemed like the easiest of easy money, he was cautious and consulted a man who he held in the highest esteem. Before accepting this challenge, I showed it to Sir Charles Lyell. Lyell, of course, one of the founders of modern geology, and asked him whether he thought I might accept it. He replied, "Certainly, it may stop these foolish people to have it plainly shown them." Poor Wallace, like Lyell, thought that Hampden only needed to be shown some proof in order to accept the plain fact that the earth is round. He knew nothing of Hampden and his ilk, although he may never have accepted the wager. But in addition to wanting to win a cool 500, he believed that a practical demonstration would be more convincing than the ridicule with which such views are usually met. He was about to find out that practical demonstrations have absolutely no effect on these truest of true believers. The first signs that Hampden was determined to win by crook if he couldn't manage a victory by hook, came when Wallace wrote in response to his advertisement, graciously accepting the challenge. Wallace offered to prove the Earth's curvature by measuring the convexity of a canal or lake. As for where this to be done, he was amenable to any suitable stretch of water. A canal will do if you can find one which is nearly straight for 4 miles without locks. If not, I propose Bala Lake in North Wales. He thought any of the editors of several popular science or sporting journals would be suitably unbiased referees. If not them, then perhaps any well-known land surveyor or civil engineer. Hampton at first seemed quite above board, agreeing that Mr. John Henry Walsh, editor of Field magazine, should serve as referee. Walsh was a non-scientist with no skin in the Globe versus Flat Earth game and had prior experience deciding wages. But shortly after funds were placed in Walsh's hands to guarantee the wager, Hampton demanded a referee of his own. Okay, look, this is going to be quite a long story, and I won't get into all the details, but what actually happened was Wallace was able to prove that the earlier experiments were false, the data was incorrect, and he did this by a very simple fact. It's about refraction. And I'm just going back here to the Wikipedia article. Refraction of light can produce the results noted by Rowbotham and Blount. Because the density of air in the Earth's atmosphere decreases with height above the Earth's surface, all light rays traveling nearly horizontally bend downward, assuming a curve or change in air temperature along the line of sight. This phenomenon is routinely allowed for in leveling and celestial navigation. If the measurement is close enough to the surface, light rays can curve downward at a rate equal to the mean curvature of the Earth's surface. In this case, the two effects of assumed curvature and refraction could cancel each other out, and the Earth will appear flat in optical experiments. Now, in the experiment that Wallace conducted, by virtue of his surveyor's training and his knowledge of physics, he set a sight line 4 meters above the water and thereby avoided the effects of atmospheric refraction. Despite Hampton initially refusing to accept the demonstration, Wallace was awarded the bet by the referee. Hampton subsequently published a pamphlet alleging that Wallace had cheated and sued for his money. Several protracted court cases ensued, with the result that Hampton was imprisoned for threatening to kill Wallace and for libel. The same court ruled that the wager had been invalid because Hampton retracted the bet and required that Wallace return the money to Hampton. So it turned into a big long saga about which Alfred Wallace was very unhappy, and it is used now in this Scientific American article as an illustration of the true nuttiness of these people, which of course is conflated with the nuttiness of anyone who has extremely divergent views. And Scientific American has published numerous articles where they basically propose that people who have non-science establishment views suffer from some kind of psychological disorder. And in the case of groups like this, where you have people who are fanatical adherents to a book which is part of a religion, I think it's quite reasonable to propose that, yes, there is a kind of a psychological disorder here. On the other hand, there's also ego involved, and there's also a profit motive in the case of, you know, trying to win a wager. But for the most part, there isn't a lot of people trying to make money out of this. It's more trying to draw attention to themselves and trying to position themselves outside of the orthodoxy of the mainstream, which has the effect of validating who they are. But is there another side to it? And when we come back to the break, I'm going to read to you another article which popped up recently, which proposes that the flat earth theory in recent times, because it's resurfaced just in the last 10 years, is a deliberate disinformation campaign. You're with Truth News Radio. We're coming back for one more segment. Stay with us.
happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio, and I'm exploring the connection between misinformation and disinformation, a subject I often return to on this show, because it's an important phenomenon that is everywhere seen when we try to get into subjects that are the subject of controversy. The bigger the controversy, the more likely that there is a lot of misinformation and disinformation, as well as viewpoints that are perhaps plausible on both sides of the argument. So you end up with this very, very messy kind of situation. And I've been talking about the flat earth theory because it has resurfaced in recent years. The flat earth society was kind of reinvented in about 2004, and I think that's when the current websites were created. And those who are pushing this are sort of along the same lines as people who are trying to reveal other information that is hidden about the world, some of which I think is valid, but some of which I don't. And I've talked a lot about my views on chemtrails in this show, and I see flat earth theory as perhaps a more extreme version of what we see with chemtrails. I think chemtrails is slightly more plausible than the flat earth theory, but one of the key characteristics about it is that it relies on so-called empirical evidence, but it is a very kind of shallow and simplistic type of empirical evidence, which also ignores conflicting empirical evidence. For example, in the flat earth theory, the people on Facebook and some of the people I've been arguing with were referring to this Bedford level experiment, but they don't refer to the fact that even back in the 19th century, Alfred Russel Wallace refuted the Bedford level experiment by doing it properly, by taking his sights 4 meters above the ground to avoid the effects of refraction, which was causing objects to seem to be on a level. It was basically the refraction is actually masking the curvature of the Earth. So if you look along a line of sight and your point of view is close to the ground, there will be a refraction of light, which means that the light is actually curving. So your viewpoint is following the curvature of the Earth. And this is a well-known fact. So it only takes a little bit of research to prove that the claims that are made are false. And as I've said with chemtrails, it only takes a little bit of research to find out that the claims that they make about, for example, persistent contrails never existing before the mid-1990s, and that normal contrails always dissipate, whereas only these bad, nasty ones persist, it's completely false. It's been disproven so many times. It's so clearly not true, and yet they just continually adhere to these discredited, empty kind of positions. And there's a psychological aspect to that, but is there a deliberate aspect to this as well? And this is the subject of this article here on beforeitsnews.com. Flat earth theory demonstrates the alarming gullibility of people everywhere. The Central Intelligence Agency will do just about anything it feels it can get away with. If ever the CIA and or Tavistock Institute wanted to test out a new mind control program, the flat earth theory would be the perfect theme for the program. As most know by now, the CIA has been running covert mind control experiments on various segments of humanity for decades. With the internet being a global platform, the opportunities for the intelligence agencies to advance their mind control agenda, as well as test their techniques and technologies, have increased and intensified considerably. There is no greater example on the internet today of inciting people of every ilk towards throwing the baby out with the bathwater than the utterly ludicrous phenomenon known as the flat earth theory. What is truly shocking is the number of really smart and aware, well-intentioned and spiritually oriented individuals who are supporting this transparent pseudo-scientific sham. Truly, the CIA has outdone itself with this mind-scrambling endeavor. Yes, scientific knowledge and applied technology have been egregiously abused and misused throughout the modern era, as this website has frequently pointed out. That is exactly the sentiment a CIA would like to exploit. However, true scientific paradigms based on common sense and human reason ought not to be whimsically replaced by pure fantasy and fiction. Quite incredibly, this ridiculous notion that planet Earth is really flat has been enthusiastically embraced by thought leaders and light workers everywhere. Their primary reason for entertaining such an absurd hypothesis is because it takes a strong anti-science establishment position. Otherwise, there is simply no good rational reason for assuming such a sympathetic posture toward this very bad cyberspace joke. Now, this is just an editorial opinion, really. There's another article that flows from it down here. A Flat Earth is Being Serious by Natalie Wolchover. Earth Through a Flat Earther's Eyes. Writing off buckets of concrete evidence that Earth is spherical, they readily accept a laundry list of propositions that some would call ludicrous. The leading flat earther theory holds that Earth is a disk with the Arctic Circle in the center and Antarctica, a 150-foot tall wall of ice around the rim. NASA employees, they say, guard this ice wall to prevent people from climbing over and falling off the disk. Now, NASA appears frequently in flat earth discussions. And there is a kind of a broad conspiracy theory about NASA. And, of course, this draws many people in. And, of course, flat earthers all claim, you know, that the moon landings are a hoax. And, of course, this then conflates flat earthers with Apollo moon hoaxes. And, of course, they're completely different ideas. And the Apollo moon hoax, the main reason why people say that's ridiculous, you know, why is it ridiculous to believe that NASA might have faked a landing on the moon? Well, it's ridiculous because it implies a total distrust of the media, a distrust of government, a distrust of NASA, right? Why is it ridiculous to believe that the Earth is flat? Well, it's ridiculous to believe that the Earth is flat because there are proofs that you can do right now. You can validate this. You can travel right around the world. I mean, I've done it. Many people have done it. I wouldn't say most people, but a lot of people have done it. It's not that expensive. You know, if you want to just do a little bit of research, get on a plane, fly around the world. You could call a friend who lives in another time zone and check where the sun is. You know, and if you know someone who lives on the other side of the world, you can call them and you can find out when it's daytime here, it's nighttime there. And all these things, all these pieces of information go to support, to verify the theory that the Earth is round. And you can also look at satellite images, you know, because, of course, the flat earth believers will say the satellite images are all fake, right? But still, there's another source of information, satellite images. Or you can do what some teenagers have done, and you can put a camera attached to a hot air balloon, and you can do this for under $100. And you can send that camera right up into the stratosphere, and you can take photos, which will show the curvature of the earth. There are so many sources of information that are congruent, that demonstrate that the earth is round. And that's why it's ridiculous to just come along and say the earth's flat and then refer to some experiment that was done 150 years ago. This is what people are doing on Facebook. Oh, the Bedford Level experiment, yeah. Oh, that experiment that was refuted. Yeah, and you know, completely overridden by 150 years of other evidence, and indeed thousands of years of human knowledge and experience that's been essential to navigation. So why is it then that people are putting forward such a ludicrous view? Or to ask another question, is it only your perception that it's ludicrous? Is it no less ludicrous to propose that we're being sprayed by airplanes every time you see a white trail above your head? But I know a lot of listeners right now alarms will be going off, and they'll be saying, "Oh no, that's that's solid information. We've researched that. Have you?" Have you researched it? I think that it's quite likely that some of these ideas have been promulgated, A, to sow confusion, possibly to dumb us down, B, possibly as an experiment, just to see what will happen. I don't know if it's the CIA. I've got no idea who might be doing it. And of course, the other thing, the most effective part of it is that it provides this tool for discrediting anyone who does have anti-establishment, anti-science establishment views. Well, that's our show for this week. I hope you found it interesting. I'll be back next week. Harry Wood Fenton, signing out. See you then.